Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, Fusion Church. All right, you guys can hear me okay out there? All right. Well, you know, it's first thing in the morning. People are still trying to log in. They're still opening up their eyes, waking up. God is good. God is good. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise the Lord. We are today in Romans 13. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time that you have given us, oh Lord God. I thank you for everyone who is on board, everyone that's watching and listening. Father God, I pray that you would just be with them, that you would just touch their lives, Father. And we pray, oh Lord God, that you would just speak to us this morning, Father. Let it be you and not me. I just thank you in advance what you're doing, what you have done, and what you're going to do in our lives. And this I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, do the stretch, okay. All right, here we go. Short chapter, praise the Lord. Not a big one. All right, here we begin. Romans 13. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authority that exists are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to do good, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. 6. For because of this, you also pay taxes, so that you are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all that are due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in the saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Verse 11, and do this, knowing that the time is now at a high time to wake up of the sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the work of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, and not really in drunkenness, not in lowliness and lust, not in strife or envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Amen and amen. All right. Okay, here we go. You know, it's a short chapter, But it's, again, it's a ton of information. It's a ton of information. You know, the first portion of this is, I have a subtitle that is called Submit to Government. And when I read that, I said, oh, here we go. We got to submit to government. So in my research, you know, I start off with, you know, since the beginning of our nation, the First Amendment of the Constitution is considered the cornerstone of religious freedom and the foundation of the separation of church and state. So therefore, this is to prevent the government from establishing, you know, its own religion or demanding a certain religion to be practiced. You know, that separation is for that, you know, that they cannot tell us what we need to practice or not. You know, the government is an institution, again, ordained by God for the benefit of men. It's for our benefit. You know, but at times government can become corrupted, and that we have seen throughout the years how government has been corrupted. In Matthew 22, verses 17, 21, they are, the leaders approached Jesus and gave him this question, you know, about taxes, you know. And in verse 17 of Matthew 22, they say, therefore, what do you think? You know, and I'll try to trick Jesus. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And 18, for Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, you know, why do you test me? In verse 19, show me tax money. So they brought him a coin, and it was a denarius, you know. And then Jesus says to them, whose image is on this denarius? And in this inscription, and they said, it's Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar, but unto God the things are to God. In other words, obey the government, but also obey the Lord. You know, we need to be obedient. We need to be the good stewards of what God has given us and obey his word. And so in verse 1, we start off, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. 1 Peter 2, 13 and 14, it says, therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance or every law, you know, of men for the Lord's sake, whether to be a king as supreme or governors of to those who sent by them for the punishment of the evildoers for the praise of those who do good. So in other words, the government was put in place, but it's to benefit us. It is to protect us, not to harm us. Now, don't get me wrong. If you do something wrong, you know, you got to pay a price. If you go through a red light, there's a law that's being broken. If you go and you steal something, there's a law that's being broken. So there is punishment for those that do evil. And again, when we don't do no evil, we shouldn't be fearing the government. We shouldn't be fearing the law. You know, and in verse 2, it says, therefore, whomever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment. See, those who resist will bring judgment. If you choose to do whatever you want to do and you break the law, there's a penalty. But it's the same thing with the Lord. You know, if you choose to obey his word and follow his word, you're going to have blessings, you know. But if you choose to break the word of God, if you choose to do whatever we want to do instead of what the Lord is telling us to do, there's going to be consequences. So pretty much he's telling us there's going to be consequences in all this. In another book, Paul to Titus, you know, in Titus 3:1, Paul tells him, remind the people to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. In other words, to be ready, you know, to submit, to obey, to follow them. Verse 3 of Romans 13, it says, for rulers are not a terror for the good. In other words, rulers will not, authorities will not put there to make us afraid. You know, we shouldn't be afraid. Now, I personally, when there's a cop car behind me and everywhere I turn, he turns, I get nervous. You know, my I can feel it. I can feel it in my chest. I say, oh God, what did I do now? So guess what? Guess what we all do? And don't tell me that I'm the only one that does this. You know, I try to go right to the speed, you know, I'm not gonna go fast, try to keep my car straight, all that stuff, thinking that this guy's gonna pull me over anytime, and I didn't do nothing wrong. But that's just me. That's just me. I don't like to be followed. But then again, I respect the law. I try to do the best I can, you know. So it says, verse 3 says, for rulers are not to be, we're not supposed to be afraid of them. But to the evil, you know, for those that are doing evil, those that are breaking the law, they should fear the law. They should fear the authority. He said, do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Then do good. So if you're doing good, don't worry about it. It's gonna be fine. You know, so the authorities are there, the rulers are there, the government is there to protect us, but they're also there to punish those that break the law. Verse 4, it says, For he is God's minister. In other words, he is the authority that God has put there, yeah, to you for good. So the authorities are there not to harm you, but to do good. But if you do evil, again, see, so if you do evil, be afraid. Be afraid because you're breaking the law. Be afraid because you're doing wrong. And he says, they do not bear the sword in vain. All that means is, punishment will come if you do wrong. Punishment will come if you break the law. That will happen. You know, this minister that the New King James puts him there as, you know, they're just government authorities. You know, and that's all that means. He says, be afraid if you do evil, for the sword is the punishment of the authority that's going to come. So therefore, do evil, you got to pay the price. Do good, you don't pay the price. It says there in verse 5, therefore you must be subject not only because of the wrath, but also to have a clean conscience. I don't know, sometimes me, you know, if I'm going to do something and I know that's something, I don't think I should do this, my conscience doesn't allow me to do it, because my heart would be going like this. You know, and I'll be thinking, I say, okay, no, I am going to do that. So my conscience stays clean because I refuse to do that. And that's what he's speaking about here, you know, that your conscience, you know, could be clean. And in verse 6, he says, for because of this, you also pay taxes. I don't like paying taxes. Come on now. You know, violent taxes are pretty high. You know, and when I look at that tax bill every year, and see how much money I'm putting out in taxes, I go like, oh, that's a lot of money going on taxes. But we have to pay it. I have to pay it. It's something that we all, you know, need to do. You know, and so in verse 5, it says, so render therefore all that is due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due. So, you know, in other words, you know, or, you know, back in the day, early Christians, you know, they refused to worship Caesar. They refused to worship the emperor or the state. But then on the other side of it, they show respect by praying for them. So, you know, if you don't like what's going on in the government, if you don't like what's going on in the laws, you know, we got to pray about that. We got to bring it before the Lord, you know, and respect the authority. In the military, there were many times that I was told to do things that I didn't want to do, or to, you know, you got to treat this group of people this way or that group of people that way. Guess what? I want to treat everybody the same. I treat everybody the same. I don't care who you are. You're going to get the same treatment out of me. But to somebody to tell me that I got to treat a certain group a certain way, that doesn't sit right with me. So I have always chosen to just do the right thing and to love one another and to be a good example of the Lord. And that has helped me to deal with every situation. In 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, it says, therefore, I exalt first of all with all supplications, prayer, intercession, and giving thanks to be made for all men. Say prayers and supplication, giving thanks to be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness and reverence. So our job is, you know, we may not agree with everything. We may not agree what government does and all that kind of stuff, but we do our best and we need to pray. We need to pray. That's what Paul's telling us, that we need to pray for the government. And look what happened this last election. Look what happened with all the stuff that was going on. The people spoke. I believe there were hundreds of thousands of believers praying, Lord, we need a change in this nation. We need this nation to turn back to you, to turn back to you, you know, and this nation voted, you know, in a certain way so that we can get back, you know, to the Lord, that this nation can do. So we need to continue to pray that way. So that's what Paul is emphasizing here. Now he goes into verse 8. He goes into another area. He says, a subtitle that we have here is love your neighbor. Love your neighbor, says verse 8 says, he says, owe no one anything except love. If you're going to owe anybody anything, owe them love. Owe them love for one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law, the word of God, has fulfilled the word of God. In James 2:8, it says, if you really fulfill the royal law, according to scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you know, and you would do well. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, that word love, you know, some people have a hard time with it, but in reality, you know, Jesus is love. God is love, you know, and he's telling us here that we need to love one another. And Paul is emphasizing this in Galatians 5:14. It's for all the law is fulfilled in one word. All the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Look at that. And they have plenty of laws. They have hundreds of laws, hundreds of regulations, hundreds of do's and don'ts. But yet again, everything is fulfilled in this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. That doesn't seem to be hard, but yes, it is hard for a lot of people to love one another, to love your neighbor as yourself, you know. But this is what Paul is saying here. We are called to love one another. You know, Jesus was asked, you know, what is the greatest commandment? That's what Jesus was asked. And in Matthew's 22:37-40, you know, Jesus said to them, Jesus, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandments. 39, he says, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. So he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your might, with all your soul, you know, with all your strength. And the second is like the first, to love your neighbor. So again, you know, he's pushing that word of love. That is something that we need to do. And it says in verse 40 of this, it says, on these two commandments hung all the law of the prophets. In other words, or again, all the laws that they have, they had hundreds of laws, hundreds of rules, hundreds of do's and don'ts, yet everything is fulfilled in love your neighbor. I don't know about you, but I love you, okay? And I'm just being real. I can love you because it's easy for me to love you. Why? Because he first loved me. So I choose that. Have there been times that I didn't love certain people? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There have been times that people have come against me. There's been times that I have had issues in the military with high authorities, and I didn't like what was going on, and things were done to me. And that's a story for another time. But guess what? In all my years out there in the military and doing what I had to do, you know, God has brought me through because of his love. His loves have always maintained me and kept me on the right path, that I was able in the military, even though I didn't like the regulations that they were trying to push, even though I didn't believe in the direction that certain things were going, I was always able to maintain myself as a believer in Christ. And I was always praying And I was always praying. So I'm the guy that you will see in the corner praying with somebody, in the hallway praying with somebody, in the parking lot praying for somebody. Somebody will always be knocking on my door in my office back in the job and says, can I speak to you, Sergeant Hernandez? And I say, okay, here we go. Okay. So I put on my counseling hat on, and I spent time with them, and we prayed, and I ministered to them, and not supposed to do this in the military because that's all against the policies. I have my Bible on my desk, so anybody can see it. Nobody ever told me to remove it, even though that wasn't policy. The policy is separate that. You don't need to that. You don't need to scare people because you have a Bible. Because as soon as I see a Bible, you think you're crazy. You think you are that. You think you are fanatic. We have been called fanatics as believers. We have been called fanatics and radicals, you know. But I have my Bible there. And guess what? In my last 6 years there before I retired, I was faithfully praying, counseling, and ministering to people in the base. Why? Because of the love of God. And God has given me that love. That's why for me, it's easy to love. It's easy to love. It comes out naturally. And those that know me, you know, it is natural for me. And I could be hugging you, and I could be kissing you, and I could be crying. And it's all because of the love of God. Because he first loved me, and I like to rub it off on people. Oh, I like to rub it off on people, because that same love will keep us. That same love will maintain us. And look what it says here, that, you know, the best thing is to love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. And in verse 9, it says, for the commandments you shall, and it gives us all these commandments, you know, that you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. You know, yet, and there is any other commandments, all of these are summed up in this, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. The question is there somebody that we haven't loved? Is there somebody that, I have a hard time loving that person. I have a hard time hugging that person, you know? I always believe, and, you know, and lately I've been sharing this a lot, you know, do everything as unto the Lord. Say, Lord, you can help me to love somebody that I may not be feeling it. But my brothers and sisters, it's not about what you feel. It's about taking a step of faith. I believe that love will tear down any barrier, any wall that stands in his way. If we take a step of faith and say, Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray for this person. I'm going to approach this person. I'm just going to love them a little bit. I'm going to start loving them a little bit, Lord. And you got to take it from there. And you know what? And once we start, and once we move in that direction, you know, things start to change. Why? Because the love of God will break any barrier, will break any obstacle, will remove every hindrance, anything that stands in the way. The love of God will just go from you into that person, because you have the anointing, my brothers and sisters. Here I go again. You have the anointing. It's in you. The anointing of God is in you. And the anointing of God, you know, as we approach other people and as we speak love to them, as we, you know, commit to them, you know, the love of God, and we're sharing with them, that goes out, and that brings peace, that brings deliverance, that breaks the bondage, that removes the obstacles, that love of the Lord. That's why, look how many times it says that this fulfills the law. And there were plenty of laws, but if you just love one another, that you love your neighbor as yourself, you will not hurt yourself. I don't know about you. If I go and I run into a wall, I'm going to hurt. And that's because I'm being dumb and I run into a wall, you know, and I hit myself. You know, nobody likes to get their fingers banged, you know what I mean? Or get caught in a door or anything. That brings pain, you know, but we supposed to be God's hands extended, God's love extended. And that's why it is emphasizing, you shall love your neighbor ask yourself, and this fulfills the law. This fulfills the law. That's wonderful how love, what love can do. Love can, you know what love can do? He could bring, he can heal your heart that you'll be praying for those that used to curse you. That you'll be praying for those that brought harm to you. That you can pray for those that have prosecuted you. And in my life, I have experienced all that. I have experienced all that. And I was able to love. I was able to embrace. I was able to hug. You know what God is giving me right now? He said, you know, you are God's hands extended, you know, and you are God's mouthpiece. And you are the only God example that a lot of people are going to see. And your love for somebody that may not deserve it, yet if you take that step of faith and you pray over this person and you share love with this person or whatever is going on, you know, there's going to be a breakthrough. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love, you know, the love of God, by us sharing this, it can be a lot of breakthrough in a lot of situations. I remember one time, and I'm going to move on from love because I got to finish this thing here. I remember one time I said, I come from a broken family and I had a stepdad. And one time, you know, I told this man, you know, you're not my father. You know, you don't talk to me. You're not going to punish me. You're not going to, you know, I didn't like him. I didn't like it because I had this pride. I had this, you know, I was like, you know, I want my real dad. I don't want you, you know, and I didn't like this guy. And you know what? I love that man today. I love that man. I actually call him dad. I love on him because I saw the love that he had for my mom. You know, and my mom passed away a couple of years ago. And she was pretty much bedridden. And I saw the sacrifices that this man did, you know, in taking care of her. And while he had to put up with all my mom's stuff. And my mom was a piece of work. And I loved her. And I loved her. But she had a lot of health issues. But I saw the sacrifice that this man did, you know, for my mom, how he cared for her, how he loved her, you know. And my way of thinking has changed. And I love my dad. I love him only because, but that's the love of God. That's the love of God. That's the same love that God is telling us to share with one another, you know, to share. You know, you got to love your neighbor as yourself. And there's no other thing. In Mark 12:31, it said the second is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself, for there is no other commandment greater than this. There's no other commandment greater than this. And to, you know, my time is running out here. Okay, verse 11, this now it goes into another topic. It's just put on Christ. And in verse 11, it says, and do this, knowing that the time, and it's now a high time to wake out of your sleep, for now our salvation is near. So it's talking about the coming of the Lord, you know, and we don't have time to waste. I have no time to waste. Whatever we got to do, we got to do it. We got to do it. That's why there's an urgency here of wake up from the sleep, of wake up, because, you know, we can do church and we can go to church every Sunday, and we have certain patterns, certain things that we do. But sometimes that becomes a habit, that becomes a way of life. And sometimes we do it every day, every week, that it becomes like a job. But then it shouldn't become like a job. It shouldn't become like a job. It should be something that I'm focusing on, that I want to meet and do the will of God, you know. So I need to make sure that I have my heart in the right place and that I'm serving for the right reason, and that I know that the time is short. The time is short. I have no time to wait. So if I'm going to tell you that I love you, I'm going to tell you that I love you. And if I'm going to tell you, hey, you got to wake up. Come on now. You got to get yourself back on track. Come on now. Come on now. Come on. Don't be looking. And if you ask me the question, I'm going to tell you the truth. And if the truth hurts, I really don't care, because I'd rather get you upset with me and you turn back from wherever it is that you may be doing, but that you turn back and you be upset with me. I prefer you to be upset with me because I told you a truth that you didn't want to hear. Just like if there's a truth that you think about me and you want to share with me, hey, come and share it with me. I am open to that. I am open to whatever you have to say, because maybe I missed it. Maybe I missed the point. Maybe I didn't see it the way that you may be seeing it. You just bring it up, you know. But we ourselves, you know, it is time for us to do what we need to do. What is important? What is important? Salvation is important. What is important for us to keep our focus? What is important for us to be ready? Because for the time is coming. It says the time is coming. Look what verse 12 says. It says the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off all the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us put on Christ. Let us put on the full armor of God. In Ephesians 6:13, it says, therefore, take up the whole armor. It doesn't say part of the armor. It doesn't say partial thing. It doesn't say just the shoes. Doesn't say just the headpiece, doesn't say just shield. He says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. In other words, put on Jesus. Put the covering of the Lord on you. Put the covering of the Lord on you. And that way you can be able to stand, that you can be able to stand. And in verse 13 says, let us walk properly, as in the day, and not in revelry or drunkenness, you know, not in lowness, not in lust, not in strife, not in envy. In other words, you know, we got to put on the full armor of God. We have to walk out by faith. We have to be ready, because the time is moving on. Time is moving on. Time to play church is gone. Time to play church that, you know, we've been hearing, oh, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And oh, he's not going to come. He may not come today. No. We have to live each day like if it's our last day. We have to live each day like if God will come tonight while I'm sleeping, I want to go with the Lord. I want to go with the Lord. I want to be ready. So that he's telling us to be ready. He's telling us to put on the full armor of God. You know, like at the end of verse 12, he says to put on the armor of light. Why? Because the Lord is light, you know, and we need to reflect him. We need to reflect him. I remember one day I was in church back in the day, I had a little bit of more hair. I had a flat top here back in the day when I was in the military, and I had a little bit of more hair, and I was there, and I went to church, and we had a guest speaker, and the guest speaker was praying in the front. I went and my cousin was to go to the front and kneel down and pray before the service. And as I approached this individual, I just felt this anointing in this individual. I just felt this presence on this individual. And it was the presence of the Lord. This person was so engrossed in his prayer with God that God's presence could be felt. And as soon as I approached him, I said, "Ooh, Lord, I thank you, your presence." You know, and it was awesome. That's the presence of God. But that's the presence, that's the anointing that we all have. You have this. Don't say you don't have it, because I'm going to smack you on top of your head and say, come on, get with it. You do have it. The word of God says that we are his sons and daughters. The word of God says that we have all that we need to succeed. The word of God says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So how can I deny him that is in me? How can I deny the Holy Spirit that's already in me? You know, it's in me, but he wants to be used. The Holy Spirit wants to move in our midst. He wants to move in your home, wants to move in your family. Well, you have that. That's the light. That's the presence of God. That's the anointing of God. And that is so tangible, and it's right there. All you need to do is say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I want you to fill this room. I want you to fill this atmosphere with your presence. Lord, help me to see. And you know, when you pray and when you feel that, you know how it is. You feel that tingling sensation. You feel that presence of God. That's the anointing, Harabashanda. That's the anointing flowing. That's the anointing flowing in that atmosphere. And sometimes we don't realize this, and sometimes we don't acknowledge it, but it's there. It's there. His presence, it's there. His presence makes all the difference. His presence, you know, breaks every barrier. His presence, you know, it's there to give you strength, to give you life, but it's transferable. And why do I mean that it's transferable? You can pass it on to somebody else when you pray. When you pray and when you lay hands, you know, and something happens, it's not about you. It's not you doing that. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit moving through you into that other person, you know, fulfilling whatever need that person has. That's the presence of God. That's the light of God. That's the anointing of God, my brothers and sisters. You know, and it says, and to finish off, it says, verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and that will keep you. And that will keep you from the desires of the flesh. That will keep you from doing the wrong thing. That will keep you in the right mindset. That will keep you in the right track, you know. So when we put on, when we put the Lord on, when we, that what it says here is you already have it on you. It's the anointing of God. It's the presence of God. But you need to do this on a regular basis. On a regular basis, hallelujah, you need to just come to the Lord and say, Lord, fill me up. Fill me up with your presence. Fill me up with your grace. Fill me up with your love. Allow me to make a difference. Hallelujah. Allow me to encourage somebody today, even though I need encouragement. I need encouragement. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we pray, Lord, send somebody. Lord, send somebody. Send somebody Jesus, you know. Send somebody to with the right word. Send somebody to touch me. And God says, yeah, but I want to send you. I want to send you. I want to stretch you. I want to show you what you can do with me when you feel like you don't have anything. And when we take a step of faith, my brothers and sisters, you know, when we take that step, God will fill you. God will restore you. God will heal you. God will heal you. And I know my time is up, but I'm on a roll right now, babe. I'm on a roll right now. You know, God is always on time. He's always on time. He's never that far away that he cannot hear you. And I know I shared this real, and I'm going to share this real quick. Back in the military, I was away one time, and I was in Pensacola, Florida, and I got up and I had to go to school, and I needed to be there. And I woke up and I had such a pain down in my groin area. Come on, in my groin area, I felt like somebody just hit me so hard that I couldn't even walk, and I was in pain, and what happens is when you by yourself in the middle, you know, it's about 4 o'clock in the morning, you're getting ready to go to school, you know, and you by yourself, you're thousands of miles away from home, thousands of miles away from the church. Who are you gonna call? You're gonna call him Father Jesus. You're gonna call him Father Jesus. And I was there, and I lay hands on myself. And I said, Lord, you gotta help me. I can't even move. I can't even walk. This thing. I was in tears. And what can I do? So guess what? You know, I lay hands on myself, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, I got to go to school. So here I went, left early that way I can take baby steps. I took a lot of baby steps, and I walked all the way to the schoolhouse. And I got to the schoolhouse. I told my instructor, look, I'm in pain. I need to go to the bathroom, you know. And I went into the bathroom. And when I was in the bathroom, I was just trying to walk back and forth. And I said, Jesus, I just need you to touch me. I just need this pain to go away. I need to go to class. I need you. And with tears and everything, and I'm walking back and forth, guess what? My God is faithful. You know, as I'm walking back and forth, I start feeling that the pain starts decreasing. That by the time I walked back to the room, my pain was gone. My pain was gone. And that is the Lord. That is the Lord. That is the Lord. So, you know, his presence is tangible. And I know I went over. Forgive me that I went over. For his presence is tangible. His presence is there. That love is there. That anointing is there. It's already in you. He's already in you. You need to make sure that you start moving. Like that verse says, you wake up. Come on. You got a lot to say. Come on. You got a lot to say. And people need to hear what you got to say. You need to encourage certain people today. Come on. Whoever's going to ask the Lord, who you're going to make me encounter today, Lord, that I can just share your love, that I can just share your mercy, that I can just share your love, your healing power with them, that I can just go there and just embrace them, you know, put my hand on them. You say, you know what? I love you. I love you. And that's it. Sometimes that's all you need to say, because that's sometimes that's all they need to hear is the word, I love you. Jesus loves you. And I just want to give you a hug. I just want to give you a hug in the name of Jesus. And sometimes that's all you need to say, as simple as that is. But sometimes that's all the person needs to hear. Because that person is only asking the Lord, Lord, if I can only hear you. And you come and you share those words. And you may not think that you did anything, but you did a lot. You walk by faith. You pray by faith. You lay hands by faith. And God took care of the rest. That's what God is asking each and every single one of us. So again, I apologize for going over this morning, but I knew that I had to finish this off and share that with you. I love you. You're in my heart. Please keep your focus. Keep your focus. This holiday season is not about the gift. It's not about going out there and going crazy, spending a lot of money. It's about Jesus. He's the reason for the season. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and what he has done for you and what he has done for me. So again, my brothers and sisters, I love you in the Lord. Keep your focus, keep your focus, keep your focus. The best is yet to come. And I'm so happy that I see here Maria, you know, she's on texting, you know, back and forth there. I see that, you know, and you know, being on the other side of the world, you know, and then she's receiving all this out there. You know, that's technology, but it's wonderful. You know, we're praying for you, Maria. So, you know, keep holding on to the Lord. He's there with you, and he's here with us, and God is on the move. Again and again, love one another as Christ has loved you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I praise you. I worship you, Rabashandarabasaya. I worship you, Jesus. And I thank you for your presence, Lord God. Overwhelming. Your presence is so overwhelming. I pray that you will touch every heart, Father, every vessel, Father, every need that is out there, Father God. I pray that you would just embrace them with your love. Like right now, Father God, just come through the screen, Father. Come through the monitor, Father God, and just embrace it. And touch them, Father God. I pray for healing, restoration. I pray for peace. Because this, Father, this season, Father God, you come to give us your peace, your love, your compassion, and your mercy. So I pray for them, Father. Be with them. Keep them, God. And meet their needs according to your riches and glory, Father. I pray for healing and restoration, Father God. I pray for your presence to be very evident in their homes and in their lives, Father. Thank you for the breakthrough. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this weekend, Father God. That when we come together, Father God, that will be such a breakthrough, Father God, as we come together this weekend, Father, that your presence, Father God, will consume that atmosphere, Father, that there can be revival taking place as people come together, as the people come and greet one another, even before they come and hear the word, even before the worship and praise, Father, wherever they're at, Father God, even if they're at home, Father, that your presence will consume them. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. And I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Okay. I took enough of your time. All right. This is who I am. Love you guys. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. Love you.